This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run studios. Let's see how these headlines go as the power flickers around us and the internet goes in and out. The storm warnings are coming. Oh, my God, we might die. Draven, hour two headlines. You ready to go?
Yes, sir. The Oklahoma Sooners.
Okay.
The women's World Series champs. You guys see that? Pretty dominant team, too. My God. It was like 54-5? Did I see that correct?
They're the class of college softball, right? Like, I mean,
I
know Oklahoma is the one that kept us from winning a national title, right? Like, didn't we lose the National World Series to them a handful of years ago?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But, yeah, no, they've been dominant the past few years for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like they've won a handful of them recently.
Yeah. But still, I mean, pretty dominant. It was also impressive.
They've won three in like the last 5 years, I'd say.
This is their fifth national championship, all coming on their coach Gasso's watch, and all since 2000. They've won three of the last five, including back-to-back in 16 and 17. So 16, 17, 2000, 2013, and now 2021.
Jeez.
Probably would have won last year, too, if there was no COVID. So, yeah, Oklahoma softball, the standard.
Pretty impressive.
What was the final score yesterday? They just beat them down yesterday,
like
right?
It was like 6-1 or something. Okay. Yeah.
Somewhere in there. I think they only give it one hit.
5-1. 5-1, okay. Yep.
I was going to say, I saw them jump out early, and then I never checked back in on it.
Yep. Pretty impressive, though. And like I said, they came from the loser's bracket as well. They had an early loss. Right? Yeah.
They lose to James Madison.
I think that may have been it, because I remember there was a big story around James Madison.
James Madison's pitcher, like, drew a bunch of praise, and they ended up beating her, I think, to get to the World Series, and like all their fans gave her a standing ovation. Everyone was talking about how great she was, and like they were talking about how she had pitched 1,000 pitches, like she had thrown 1,000 pitches over.
Crazy.
Over like the last like little stretch
56
there.
56-4 though, never lost back to back games all year. Isn't that? I mean, that's unreal.
I think they also beat everybody they lost to, like, once or twice, like afterwards, like later in the season.
Well, I'm sure they did. They play a series, so I'm sure they didn't like ever get swept and got their revenge. And they've been a thorn in our side, that's for sure.
Pretty impressive. Also, shout out to the Vegas Knights. How about making it 3 out of the 4 years since expanding into the NHL? They were able to get
the Stanley Cup again.
No, they're in the semifinals, but I mean, still
in the conference finals.
Yes, that's basically yeah. Still pretty impressive. They were able to knock off the Avalanche in 6 with a win last night.
Yeah, James Madison was a team that beat them. Beat them 4-3, I think, in game one. Then, they rallied back. So, yeah, I mean, the Knights, I know hockey fans were mad at the time about how much better they were set up with when it comes to the expansion draft.
I do wonder about that, just because, like, how does the NHL, you guys know how the expansion works? I know you get so many players off certain teams, but like,
you're only allowed to protect like
it's kind of unheard of, because I went to the Stanley Cup first year?
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I was going to say. I don't know the exact rules, but I know people are mad. I think they might have only gotten to protect like two of their top level players. So like, they were to get like a bunch of good B players. I mean, was it James Neal they got from the Preds? Is that right?
Yeah, James Neal.
They were able to get him. I mean, he was a good young Preds player, but just not the very top. So they were able to get him and a couple other just good B players. And then Seattle. I mean, Seattle's coming too. Have they done their expansion draft yet? Because I mean, Seattle's
people. The Kraken.
I'm looking up some stuff right now about the Kraken. They get to pick one person from each team, except Vegas.
Why is Vegas? Just because they're an expansion team still.
They're new, I guess.
I mean, I'm sure there's still protections on.
I mean, like, you get to. Yeah, every team will get to protect. Like, I know, like in the NBA, they're already kind of preparing for the two new expansion teams. You know, Seattle and Vegas if they're coming and. I saw some conversations around that. Like, I think the standard in the NBA is you get to protect 8 players.
Yeah, if I remember right, yeah.
Okay. So, that seems like you're just going to get a bunch of scrubs, though, right? I mean, nobody wants the ninth best player on a team.
I was going to say, if you protected 8 players, you'd get basically a lot of just, like, solid vets. But, like, in the NBA, like, expansion teams have, like, you know, actually had to like built through the draft, and like it's a process. Like you have sucked. Like the Raptors and Grizzlies
nowadays, though,
you
think that's gonna work? I mean, with expansion teams in the NBA, just because like
I would say,
like we've had the same, you know, similar teams at the top.
Well, what I would say to that, Draven, is if you're just preparing, is like in the say like in the mid '90s. That's the last time we had an expansion draft, right? I mean, if I'm missing, did we do one for the Bobcats? Maybe, I don't know, but like even then, like the star, the young players that were coming in the league were like 21, 22, right?
Yeah.
Now, like these teams that are like drafting players, like are you going to protect like a 19 or 20 year old that maybe is good, maybe not good? Like, are you allowing them to take some like actual of like some of your draft picks? Because when you start adding that up, like it gets tough to protect all eight.
Yeah. Yeah, if there's a guy you have that's young and you think he has potential, but you know he hasn't really like cracked the rotation a ton yet.
Right.
Yeah, you have a tough decision.
So just like, I mean, just, yeah, so, you know, a team like the Cavs, I guess, who have all these young players, I mean, like, they're just going to protect all their youngest guys, and then, like, cause then, like, you know, we can have Kevin Love, I guess. Like, you wouldn't protect Kevin Love. Or with the Hawks, I mean, like, they may have to protect choose between Capella or, like, the rookie, you know, big man they drafted, Okonwu. Like, who do you protect? Do you protect the guy that's 20 that has a lot of upside, or the guy who's anchoring your defense and is 28? So, like, teams would make some tough decisions when it comes to that, but... But yeah, like that's why the hockey's been so different, and that's why the Golden Knights have been able to make the Stanley Cup or at least make the semifinals as many times as they have because hockey hooked them up.
Is it not frustrating? I mean, these teams like NFL, NBA that have been around forever and still have not even gotten to, like Clippers have never been to a Western Conference Finals, and here you have Vegas Knights 3 of the 4 years like getting in there.
It is, but I would say on the flip side, like if I'm hockey, I feel good about it because I mean I don't know if you have seen, but like there's a really big fan base in Vegas. Like when I was out there, last month, like they were having, you know, in the casino, like whenever they were on, like there was a bunch of fans in there watching. Like, so it's probably better than going to a new market and like sucking.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what kind of fan base the Texans had when they came in the NFL, but they were terrible for so long. Like, I can't imagine it would have been better if the Texans were all of a sudden in playoff contention in year one and you can just hit the ground running.
Yeah.
So for hockey, it makes sense. Like, hey, here you go, Golden Knights, new market. Hop on the bandwagon. These teams are good.
Right. Some more Russell Wilson news. He's been a little quiet last couple weeks, but some interesting quotes coming from him. True or false, Russell Wilson says he never requested a trade, never even talked about a trade.
That means he's not getting traded.
We buying this, though, that he didn't even mention it? I mean, what did he say? He said there was he wants to stay in Seattle. Like, there was no even considerations of it, and it was just – unfortunate, says there was unfortunate frustrations after this past season, but that he does still want to stay in Seattle. You buying this, John?
I do buy it if we're looking semantically. And Russell Wilson says he never requested a trade. I believe that.
What about the fact that there? I mean, where are these reports coming from? He had a list of teams.
Well, that's what I was
going to
say. I bet. I do not believe that he was wasn't unhappy and like gave the franchise like some type of ultimatum or like. Tried to do a power play, and the Seahawks either called his bluff or, what was it, like re-sign Chris Carson? Like, what the hell did they do for him? Like, they got him an offensive lineman, right? Didn't they trade
for him? Yeah, they traded for
him. Did they get Orlando Brown or no?
No, they got, was it Rodney Hudson?
Yeah,
they got somebody from the Raiders.
Oh, that's right, okay.
Rodney Hudson went to the Cardinals, but they got somebody from the Raiders.
Okay.
It was either Gabe Jackson
or
Rodney Hudson.
Did he trade for Orlando Brown? Did he end up with the Chiefs?
He ended up with the Chiefs, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, I do think that again, I do think he was unhappy and was trying to do a power play. I don't think it worked. But I don't think he actually, like, ever, like, hey, I want out of here. I'm done. Like, Aaron Rodgers has. You know what I mean? Like,
Gabe Jackson, by the way. Yeah. Don't went to the Seahawks.
Russell didn't get as ugly with it as Aaron Rodgers has. Or Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
I do believe Russell when he says that, but I do not believe that he wasn't unhappy and wanted out of there.
Right. Speaking of getting freed, Minshew, some reports coming in looking like the Jags will trade him. They said they'll take a 5th or 6th round pick for Minshew Mania. Man, Minshew wants to compete for a starting job anywhere.
Wants to compete for a starting job?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I know some Titans fans are interested in him being the backup because we don't really have a backup quarterback, but if he's saying he wants to compete for a starting job, then nah, I don't want to kick the tires on him. I don't want.
Where would he even go compete somewhere right now?
Again, like
Houston.
Yeah,
it's like the only place, right? Maybe Denver if you want to have a third quarterback in that quarterback room.
Oh, no, who all does Denver have now? Teddy and
Drew. I guess you could maybe Washington. You see, Washington's talking about they're saying they're having an open quarterback battle. That Fitz is not the not the immediate starter. That's what
Rivera
said.
I told you that. I told you Heineke coming,
dog. I
don't
think you can handle Fitz and Minshew on the same team. trying to out-goof each other. I don't, you can have one goofball. You can't have two.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of there's not a lot of starting jobs available. Mm-hmm. I guess if you had told me, like, New England didn't draft Mac Jones, I think you could let him compete with Cam, but... Mm-hmm. I mean, again, like 37 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Like those numbers don't look bad, but he's just so conservative with the ball.
Yeah. Just check down guys.
Yeah. Yep. It was just funny because he has like a renegade like lifestyle or like image he's trying to portray. But like with the ball, he's very careful and doesn't take chances.
Would you rather have him or Drew Lock?
Him.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would. I would rather have him too, than Drew Lock. Mm-hmm. I'd probably rather have Teddy, though.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of the same version. I feel like Tay's just a better version of Minshew, just more veteran, check down guy.
If I'm Philadelphia, isn't it like between like Bortles? Is it Bortles or Flacco?
It's Flacco.
Okay.
Flacco
Hurts. Between Flacco and Hurts, like, I mean, I wouldn't mind having Minshew. Minshew, to me, is a same level prospect as Jalen Hurts is.
What about the New York teams?
Nah, I mean,
well, you got the Giants, and if Danny Dimes doesn't do anything, you can
Jets,
have Gardner.
Obviously,
the
Jets know.
Got Zach Wilson.
Yeah, so obviously, knowing them. But
the
Jets
are kind of talking to the Bears about getting Foles as a backup.
Yeah, really? See, they're in the market for somebody.
Yeah,
why
but
Munchie
wants to compete. They're not much, putting Foles in there to compete. They're just getting him as a backup.
Foles is like, all right, buddy, back to the backup role. Your little run was over here. Again, if I'm Minshew, I get that you want to say you want to be a starter, but like sometimes you just gotta go be a backup and wait for an opportunity. Hope somebody gets hurt, which I know it sounds awful, but yeah, just like, hey, I'm gonna go here, and if I get a chance, I get a chance.
Yep.
So I guess out of that list, like Philadelphia is the only team that makes sense to me. Like,
What if he goes to the Steelers, be the successor to Big Ben next year? He rides
Mason,
his time
man.
As a backup.
Well, again,
he
like
beat
if,
out Mason.
If he's saying
they got
he
Dobbs.
If he's saying he wants if he's saying he wants to go and compete, like maybe he's just needs to line himself up, like you said with Jameis, like I'll compete next year for a starting job. But yeah, I mean, if Big Ben's gone next year, I don't think they would turn to Gardner Minshew. I think they'd draft a guy and like kind of reset. But I don't know. I can't imagine there's much of a market for him unless he's cool with being a backup.
Yep. Moving to college football real quick. Derek Stingley Jr. Remember him? Cornerback LSU, stud freshman year, sat out this past year. Reports are coming in. Likely to get some snaps at wide receiver this fall.
Who's this?
Derek Stingley, quarterback for LSU.
Okay.
What do you think about this?
They're trying to win my Heisman? They're going the Charles Woodson route?
Kind of sounds like it a little bit, doesn't it? And, I mean, would you want to do this if you were him, being on the field that much? A guy that's probably going to be he's predicted a first-round pick. I mean,
first-round pick. I mean, hell, he's going to be a top-five pick.
Yeah, exactly. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, if I was like a guy, if I was like, you know, a guy that's in the late 20s, I'd be like, yeah, look at my versatility. I can do this and that. But if I'm, you know, pretty much guaranteed to be top five, like every mock draft has him like number three, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is he like the first guy taken?
He's number one, like, corner for sure. I mean,
he's the number one guy besides like a quarterback, right? I mean, it's like Sam Howell and him, right?
Yeah.
I want to say,
yeah. He's the top defender in the draft, you know, as of now.
Let me check just to see exactly.
What's the last two-way player we had? I know we've had like some fullbacks play linebacker. I mean, but other than that, like. Nobody had a like skilled position, right?
I don't know. I'm sure there's been a cornerback or something that's got some type of touches, but I can't think of one like you said.
Yeah,
Peppers maybe at Michigan.
Peppers got some ball. Yeah,
he's right. Everywhere.
So right now, 247's mock draft has, I guess, two quarterbacks at the top: Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon.
Oh yeah, forget about him. Yeah. He's a stud too. Yeah.
It's got Kaer Elam, cornerback at Florida. At Florida going number four. And then Stingley at five, so I guess maybe he does have a little bit of competition, but still a top five pick, bro. Don't imagine if you got there and get hurt playing wide receiver.
Yeah,
you'd feel so stupid,
especially after he just sat out a whole year. I mean,
tank for Thibodeau.
Is that the Falcons
I'm locked
mindset?
In now.
See that good?
Yeah, he's been. I've seen like his freshman year, he was dominant, and he's just kept it up ever since.
Was he not eligible for this past year's draft? Or am I wrong?
No, he was like a sophomore.
Okay.
Yeah,
I almost want to say. I thought he was going to come out, but yeah, maybe not.
Do we have any type of stigma with Oregon defensive linemen?
I guess with Deion Jordan.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think of Deion Jordan. Is there anybody else? That's like, have they had a couple other DNs get drafted?
Buckner.
Buckner's been good.
Buckner
okay.
Good,
so really just Deion Jordan in Miami is kind of the only bust.
And he was kind of a tweener, too,
okay.
You know, size-wise.
Okay. All right. Good batch of headlines. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, let's switch gears. You want to go to NBA or talk more about this college football playoff expansion? The Athletic ran a pretty good piece laying out kind of the impact that this expanded 12-team playoff would have had over the last decade.
Ooh. I'm kind of interested in that.
You're interested
Draven,
in that?
What would make you happy here?
That's it. This is Draven's Happy Friday. What do you want to hear, Draven? You want to talk NBA?
We can talk
or
about
wanna...
this stupid playoff expansion if we really need to. I don't have it. You guys know my thoughts. I mean, you can write a whole damn book about it from The Athletic and tell me how cool it is or whatever, and I don't care.
Okay.
Sorry. It's just how I feel about it. I mean, stupid. I like how Notre Dame's going to get screwed, though. That's funny to me. I do kind of find that funny.
Is that like, is Notre Dame cool with this because, you know, like, they're coming around, like, you know what, we had fun in the ACC last year. It was fun. Let's just do a conference.
Yeah, they may have to jump in the conference.
Then again, it is Notre Dame. Like, they wouldn't let Notre Dame
ranked,
not get a bye if there's an opportunity.
No,
ranked,
they,
I mean,
they can't. No, they can't. The rule states, which nothing. I guess the rules aren't official. Maybe they could
some
swing it around,
there,
some loophole. Yeah, but right now, I mean, it says the top four conference champions. Like, that's in writing, so, like, they couldn't. Again, either Notre Dame could bite the bullet and join the ACC, which I don't know how their fans would feel about that. I don't. Mm-hmm. I feel like they've been against it forever, but who knows? Maybe if they can't, get a bye, it would change their mind. Who knows? But yeah, right now Notre Dame would not be allowed to be a top four seed because they would not be a conference champion. So they do get screwed a little bit.
And they're already like. It'd be too late for them to join the conference rivalry. We got schedules out for the ACC.
For this, well, the thing is, this college football playoff expansion won't happen until 2 years from now. Okay, after the 2023 season.
Yeah, that was the earliest I saw.
Yeah, so this year and next year will not have this, but the third year could if they vote. You know, this would go final, I think, in September is the target date. People would say like this was whenever they'd be like, okay, this is happening 2 years from now. They'd rip up the TV contract or get a bunch of new money from ESPN, and you know the players aren't going to get any of it, but you could sell them on, hey – you're going to build your brand in the playoff. 12 new, you know, you get 8 new playoff teams. This will help you get some Twitter likes and make you a couple $1,000s as we make millions and millions and millions. So, I'll be honest. Like I said, The Athletic went and ran out, I guess, a 10-year period, 2011 to 2020. So, 10 playoffs of those years, 2011 to 2020, with a 12-team playoff, I'm actually surprised by this, Alabama would have made 9 of the 10. I'm shocked it's not 10 out of 10. What year?
Year did this start?
2011. So, I mean, they were winning championships. Wow. Ends like 11 to 20. Like, would it have just been 2020?
I can't remember.
After Mac Jones lost to Auburn, like, would that have been it? Like, would they have been outside the top
12?
Well, it wouldn't be exactly top 12 because you get 6 champions. Like, it could be a little skewed. There, you know, they could be
like a 13, 14 or
right,
something there.
Right.
I guess that's the only year I could possibly think of off the top of my head.
Which, I mean, of the 10 playoffs we've had, how many of them have they missed anyways? Which I guess we haven't had 10 playoffs, right? Because the playoff has only been here since, what, 14?
14, yeah.
Okay. And they've missed it once?
Once.
I guess once, okay. Yeah, so that's probably the year, yeah.
Okay. So no different, really. 8 for Ohio State, again, no real difference.
Checks out, yeah.
Between 2011 and 2020, that would have been one of their probation years, right? Or their only probation year whenever Luke Fickell was coaching. They were 6-6.
Yeah.
Clemson, Oklahoma make it 7 times. So, again, those are the 4 teams we know are always going to make it. Mm-hmm. Guess what, guys? The 12-team playoff, they're going to make it a lot as well. So, no real surprise there. So, some big winners from, you know, if this would have changed, Draven, you could have Florida State, Georgia, and Oregon claiming to make the playoff 50% of the time. So, I do think that would be a boost for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially Pac-12.
Yeah, for Oregon to be like, hey, you know, we made the playoff. Like, they've become more of a power, more than an afterthought, because they've only made it once, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since 2014, since the actual playoff, the year that with Mariota.
The first year, right? That was the first year.
Was
that
the first year? Yeah, it was the first year.
Beat Alabama.
Yep, that is correct. Mm-hmm. The first year. Of course, they made the BCS championship in 2011 when they lost to Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
So, Oregon, Georgia, and Florida State would have got to say 5. Would have been good for Florida State as well.
Yeah.
Kind of maybe Jimbo doesn't leave if that's the case and fans are happy. If you're Florida State, you probably would. Like, that's probably what would happen, right? You're upset because you couldn't win a championship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jimbo like started losing a couple
shot,
games. You got passed by Clemson, but you still could have been in the playoff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Florida, LSU, Notre Dame, Penn State, Stanford, and Wisconsin would have made it 4 times.
Okay.
Which, again, makes probably what raises both Stanford and Wisconsin's
stock.
Florida maybe isn't, you know, as upset with McElwain if they're making the playoffs. Maybe McElwain's still there, but you know, Mullen's going to be in there all the time now with this damn 12-team playoff. Baylor, Boise State, Kansas State, Michigan State, TCU, UCF, Washington would have made it three times.
Nice.
Draven's rolling his eyes.
Do we really want to see Kansas State in this playoff?
No, but I want like to see
any of those teams that you just named.
Yes, you remember when Boise and TCU were really good and they got left out? Yeah, I would love to see them in the playoffs.
Come on, man. They're beating up on the I'm not going to go.
Now,
I
will say Baylor probably had a couple of teams I would have liked to see with the with Art Ross before, you know, obviously
Robert
what happened there.
Was at that point, too, at one of those.
Yeah.
Well, he was 2012, right?
Yeah.
Very early.
But even with, was it Bryce Petty?
Petty
that
had a good year.
That team was like fifth or sixth in the country. I would have liked to have seen them play. Like, I thought that that was the year that Ohio State got in.
Mm-hmm.
And then won the title as a four seed. But, like, I thought both Baylor and TCU would have been fun to watch that year. But I thought Ohio State was better. So I don't think it would change the national championship. But it might have. Maybe Baylor got hot. Auburn, Michigan, South Carolina, Texas A&M, and USC would have made it twice.
Look at Harbaugh.
Well, I was going to say, like, is that a good thing for Auburn and Michigan?
Was it even Harbaugh's years? Was it?
Yeah, maybe.
It could have been the Nard year.
There's the 1 year where they beat or played, was it Florida they played in the bowl game?
Yeah.
Or Florida State. No, they beat Florida State. They beat Florida State down that time that Jake Butt tore his ACL, right? Or did they lose that bowl game? Either way.
I know what you're talking about, though.
I feel like that's bad. Like, if I'm Auburn and Michigan, I've only made 2 out of 10. Like, that would probably get your coaches fired if you would.
Well, that's why I'm wondering, like, how are they gonna judge your coach based on this?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, being a top 12 team's not difficult, but also like
it
Michigan
is sometimes. Well, sometimes it is, but for some
reason we haven't done it
still
recently.
Losing to the same teams, same three teams being 9-3. Like Michigan's pretty much done the last couple years.
Well, I think Malzahn gets fired much more early, like much earlier, if he's made 2 of 10 playoffs, right? Especially while Alabama's going to 9 of them. Like, you could be like, hey, it's not hard to be a top 12 team, bro. But if you're somebody like South Carolina who would have made 2, like, that's a huge accomplishment.
Yep.
But, you know, Harbaugh probably gets fired sooner, too, like, if he can't make a 12-team playoff. So it will raise expectations, and also it'll work two ways. Like, for some coaches, it'll raise expectations. Like, at the very least, Jimbo, you got to make this playoff. We're giving you $75 million, right? Like, we gave you $8 million a year, Jimbo, at A&M. You have to make this playoff.
Also, like, controversy is still going to be so bad in this, man. Like, deciding the six at large is especially when you have non-Power Fives in the mix and, you know, some of these Power Fives, Big Ten teams. Like, it's going to still be just an absolute disaster. In fact, I think it's going to be a lot worse than picking four teams just because you're deciding between potentially three or four teams instead of just, you know, a 4 or 5 seed.
Yeah.
Just don't see it solving anything, John. That's my thing. I just don't really see it solving anything other than literally saying, hey, this bowl game between Georgia and Cincinnati, let's call it a playoff game instead.
Well, I think that's what it's – I do think you'll have a couple things. And I know that it's not going to change the sport or whatever, but I do think it has the potential to do a couple things. I do think you're going to have more games that people will want to watch because they actually have stakes. And I think if you're college football, you want as many eyeballs as possible because your viewership has slipped a little bit. And I do think – Draven, that you can't really overstate the importance of an extra 10 teams or 15 teams having their fan base be excited of feeling like they can actually accomplish a goal. And like for Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma, of course, like they know they're going to be in the playoff. They're going to be in the playoff anyways at 4 teams. Like one of Oklahoma or like Georgia will get left out. Whatever. One of those teams won't make it. But if you are someone who roots for Florida, again, this isn't good for us, but like you have a chance of making the playoff and accomplish a goal, and you probably feel like you could play with anybody last year. Like if you're Florida, you're probably like, look, we lost to Alabama. Not really fair. Like we could beat anybody in the country except Alabama. Yeah, I know we lost to LSU at home, but that was kind of a fluke. Our guy threw some nice cleat, lost his mind, and then the guy booted a 50-yard field goal. Like those were only 2 losses last year, right? Did I miss one? Did Florida lose to anybody else?
No.
Did they have a third loss?
They did. They lost to Texas A&M.
That's right. Lost to Texas A&M
at the beginning of the year.
Right. Wow. Lost to Texas A&M in a close game where they blew a lead. They fumbled. Like, but either way, like if you're Florida, you probably felt like, hey, if we could have played with anybody in the country. We lost at LSU, at Texas A&M. In both games, we felt like it was a fluke. And, you know, it was a one-possession game against Alabama. We could have been a playoff team. Penn State, who always has to jump over Ohio State, probably feels a little, you know, a little bit more realistic. Wisconsin probably feels a little bit more realistic. Like, man, we're a top level team right now, but getting ready to get baptized by Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. So, what does this really matter?
Yeah.
Like Northwestern last year could have been a playoff team, and I know that's not like. Well, I'm saying I know it doesn't like move the needle for anybody there, but like if you're that fan base, you're pumped up and more invested. Again, Tennessee really. Going to the teams that would have had one appearance, Arizona, Arkansas, Cincinnati, Coastal, Carolina, Colorado, Houston, Indiana, Iowa State, Iowa, Memphis, Miami, Mississippi State, Missouri, North Carolina, Northern Illinois, Oklahoma State, Ole Miss, Utah, Western Michigan.
Nice.
No
we're,
real heavy.
We're worse than all those teams.
Yes. When did Western Michigan have a good year?
The year they went undefeated. Yeah. And like
Was that with Corey Davis? Davis.
Okay. Yeah, it was like PJ Flex, like 12-0 year, and then I think he got hired after that. But like,
I remember that.
All those fan bases could at least check a box and say, hey, we accomplished something, because none of those teams can say it otherwise, right? Like, none of those teams, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, Coastal won their conference or whatever, but like, Mississippi State never won the conference, never won the division.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State never won their conference. Ole Miss never won their conference or won their division. Like, Utah, yeah, they did. But like, they don't really have anything to show for it other than like, hey, look at this nice, cool 9-win season, or hey, 10-win season. But if you could hang up your little banner or do whatever, put your thing up there, celebrate. I think ultimately that's better for, like I said, an extra 20 fan bases a year to have a chance and be invested.
Yeah.
Now, us, notice I didn't say Tennessee there. We wouldn't have made any of these 10.
I almost disagree a little bit. Like, okay, let's just take Utah, for example. You could say we won the Pac-12, we're not going to get a chance to play in the playoffs, but we if we got in there, we'd have a shot. It's like instead you do get in there, you get killed, and it's like, damn, we're really not as good as we thought we were.
Or it's like, hey, we had a shot, we just didn't do anything with it.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I think it takes a little bit of that hope because it's saying, like, hey, we like Texas A&M, man, we got screwed. We should have been in the playoffs. If we were in, we could have competed with those teams. We would have gave Bama a much better shot than those other three teams. And then you get in there and you get killed like you would have, like we all know they would have.
Sure.
And it kind of takes away that little bit of like, hey, that was like the one thing we were banking on.
Sure. No, yeah, I've you know referenced that before. It's nice to get left out and say you would have won. Like,
exactly.
It's easy that way.
Exactly.
But I don't think any fan base actually believes that. I think they still would rather have, like, if given the chance, if we can pretend like we would have won, or like maybe we could have played. Like, if you'd asked, let's just say UCF, for example, would you have actually wanted to try to play Alabama that year? I'd say all of them would say yes, they would have liked to have tried. You don't think so?
I guess. The realistic fans, maybe not. Sure, but like, I mean, yeah, the fans that were screaming national champs, yeah,
right.
Sure.
I mean, I would just say, ultimately, the players would have wanted to play. Like, everyone, again, some rational fans would be like, okay, we would be better off just not taking this L.
Yeah.
But, like, others would be like, you know what? Yeah, let's try it. So at least now you'll lose that what if. And, you know, the third thing I was going to say, like, this does is this. This does give a seat at the table for the Group 5, and I am very, very interested to see what the ramifications and the spillout for that will be. Because if I am, I mean, let's just say hypothetically here, let's say you grew up in Nashville, you want to go to college somewhere, you want a chance to go to the college football playoff, and you want to stay in state, would you rather go to Tennessee or would you rather go to Memphis? If your goal is to go to the playoff, and like if you, let's just say you're a quarterback and like, I want to build my brand.
Yeah.
You go to Memphis, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Memphis has a much better shot of making the top
12. Winning their conference and being, a decently ranked team. Yeah.
Cincinnati, Coastal Carolina. Like, Coastal Carolina, would you rather go there or, like, go try your chance at South Carolina? Like, if you're a four, if you're a, like a high three-star, would you rather go somewhere where, again, if I'm Jamie Chadwell, I'm like, hey, guys.
You're selling that.
All we got to do is win this conference and be one of the six best, and, hey, you're in there. They can't hold us back anymore. I think the Group 5 is going to get a huge shot in the arm here.
Yeah, I love that for them. I love that. I like the parody a little bit. I like seeing the little teams be able to, you know, get there and play with the big boys.
What is that helping at the end of the
day? It's not going to help any.
It's just taking away from the teams that aren't already at the top of recruiting, like Alabama, like Ohio State, the middle teams who are trying to chase those teams are going to get, like, not have – it's just going to get even worse.
It's going to make it more competitive, but, like, yeah, like you said, the wealth distribution gap is going to get wider.
Yeah.
Like Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson, all them, they'll still be getting their 5 stars because they put them in the NFL. But again, I think they're already. Same thing. Well, yeah, no, I'm saying that's going to get wider though, Kevin, because the middle class is going to get hurt. Like the middle class, if you are, let's just say you're a 4-star wanting to go to the college football playoff, and you're wanting to go to either Baylor or Houston, where are you going to go?
Houston.
I'd take my chance with Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, these in-state schools that have good Group 5s in their state or nearby, I do think that's going to be a legitimate I do think that's going to be a legitimate thing that happens. Now, who knows? Maybe not. Maybe the brand still won't be bigger. Maybe being at Tennessee and getting their Twitter followers and getting the SEC games and playing in the SEC outweighs one extra game in the college football playoff. You know, maybe that's overstated. Yeah. But I know what I'm selling if I'm Jamie Chadwell at Coastal Carolina right now. Why would you go to South Carolina?
Yep. Yeah.
If you're going to go to Clemson, if you're good enough to go to Clemson, yeah, go ahead. But why would you ever go to South Carolina if you want to play on the biggest stage? They say the SEC is the biggest stage in college football, but you know what really is? The college football playoff, this nice 12-team shiny playoff. The whole country is going to be watching.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really put South Carolina on CBS, bro.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what I'd be selling. Like, when's the last CBS game you've seen South Carolina in? And maybe there is one, and you'd be like, oh, well, I saw them lose to Georgia. Okay, whatever. But, like, you get the point. I'm very fascinated by that because I think the big winners, obviously, yesterday was the TV people, the big wigs going to get to make a whole lot of more money.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I would say the Group 5 is also a huge, huge winner in this. BYU, Coastal, Cincinnati, Houston, Memphis. There'll be a couple more pop-up over time. I mean, I'm sure Boise State will get back at it. But, like, that, to me, is a really, really big deal. And I'll probably say that the next biggest winner is probably the Pac-12 because they won't get shut out anymore.
Yeah. Get disrespected, huh?
Yeah, I mean, like, you won't get shut out anymore, and like you don't have any reservations of staying and going to Oregon, and like because you might get left out of the playoff. Like, it might help make those games feel important too. But I do think the losers are teams like Tennessee, Kentucky, and South Carolina, and guys in the SEC that like don't really have a chance to win it. Maybe it's a shot in the arm, though. Like, maybe there'll be a couple years where Tennessee can feel like they can be a top 12 team. I don't know. Like, it doesn't feel that close because, like, the spots are already kind of taken at the top of the SEC, it feels like, right? Like, in the East, it's going to be Georgia and Florida.
Mm-hmm.
In the West, it's going to be Alabama and LSU and A&M and, like, those five. Like,
that's not going to change.
That's not going to change, really. Yeah. No, that's
contract extended through what? 2027 or something? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not going to change unless, like I said, like, next year Texas A&M doesn't make the top 12. And they don't make the playoff for two, or not next year, but like whenever it happens. Like if some of those schools miss out a couple of years in a row, that might be good enough to get you fired, even though you're going 9-3. That raises the bar for some of those programs. But I will say, Draven, and I know you don't like this, but you have to admit it's not that much of an increase. But Tennessee has a better chance of making the top 12 than do the top 4 anytime soon.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, there are a lot of schools that can sit around and feel that way. Like, well, there's not a real chance we're going to finish in the top four, especially when we have to beat Alabama twice in a year.
Yes. And especially with, you know, playing in the SEC strength of schedule, you have a good year. You may be up there.
You might get in the top 12 at 9-3.
Yeah.
Which there's no chance of getting there with three losses in the top four. So, again, it's not anything we're going to have to worry about here, but I would like to have seen what would have happened, like, to the team in 2016, right? Or 2015 even. This team could have maybe been a champion, been a playoff team in 2015 if they had the top 12 goal to shoot for. I mean, I know they went 8-4, but you know, losses are close. Maybe you don't lose to Arkansas. In 2016, maybe you don't lose to Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
I know you still had a Sugar Bowl berth on the line probably, but you didn't have an SEC East on the line, so maybe the players weren't motivated against Vandy. Maybe the team was already shot, and who knows like what would have happened. But if like you go 9-3 and you're a top 12 team, maybe you don't come out and land egg against Vanderbilt. Maybe you still feel like you can win a championship and the season's not lost. And maybe you come out and like this team would have came through. Because I know the fans were excited about going to the Sugar Bowl and going to New Orleans. I don't know how much the players cared. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I don't know. So I'll say at the very least, teams feel like they can accomplish at least something more than like, hey, we won the Music City Bowl. Yes or no, by the time this actually gets put in place, there's a loophole for Notre Dame to get to host a game.
Probably.
Or to get a bye.
Their people are going to, their big money people are going to be in the people's ear.
Yeah. I'd say you're accurate. I just don't know how they do that, though, because, like, if they open up for Notre Dame, then you possibly open up for Cincinnati to get a bye.
Just get in the damn ACC. Like, you're going to be this pretty much guaranteed second-best team at least, right? Like, I mean, who else is going to be competing in the ACC right now?
Yeah.
North Carolina? Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Miami?
I mean, if I'm Notre Dame, I came in, I won the division first year. Yeah, this is pretty easy.
Oh, yeah.
Beat Clemson at least once.
These conferences they talk about.
This is pretty easy. All right, let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. I can't wait till Memphis starts finishing ahead of us in recruiting. Oh, my God. Stephen A. Smith says Donovan Mitchell is the best player in the history of the Jazz organization.
Oof.
What?
That's what he says. It says Donovan Mitchell is the best player.
I mean, you got to get to like a Western Conference Finals first, right? I mean, I feel like he's got to get past the series to say at least say that. Also, Malone was went to a lot of playoffs, had a lot of success, man.
Was kind of a choker though.
I was about to
did
say.
Have a cra- did yeah. get blamed for being a choker. I mean, we think of him in the two finals, but that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
Had the choker thing kind of play out right there when they have a lead in game six and he lets Michael Jordan come steal the ball from him. Then dribble it down and hit the game winner in game six. Malone's kind of a choker. Plus, Malone's a scumbag, so I'm all in favor of Donovan Mitchell passing him.
But Donovan Mitchell, he's only won, what, two playoff series, right? Including this year, right? Like, yep. I mean, and...
No, I mean, Malone won an MVP. Malone won an MVP. Two times, actually. Won two MVPs. I don't know what he's trying to say in his argument, but like it does feel like he's a ways away from being better than Karl Malone. Although, Donovan Mitchell, I mean, what he's done in the playoffs, he is getting... He is putting together a really good early legacy in terms of being a playoff performer, which is what we want from our players. I mean, highest points per game in playoff history, minimum 25 games, he is on the list.
Yeah.
At 28.4, he trails only LeBron James at 28.7, Jerry West at 29.1, Kevin Durant at 29.2, Allen Iverson at 29.7, and Michael Jeffrey Jordan at 33.4. So, like, that puts Donovan Mitchell's sixth all-time, and he's in good company. Now, I mean, I don't know how much we, like, actually look into that, but or how much was actually, like, you know, bolstered by last year's bubble, allowing, you know, to score 50 points a game, 40 points a game, blowing a 3-1 lead. If Mitchell wins this series, it'll go a long way to helping him. Like you said, he does need to make a conference finals. And right now, the Jazz and Suns look like the two best teams in the West. Like, one of those teams is going to go to the finals, and some legacies are going to get changed.
I still think the Clippers are going to win the series, John.
You think the Clippers win the series?
Listen, when Kawhi's back's against the wall, man, how good is he? Like, honestly, just when his back is completely against the wall.
He has only not been good once. Game 7 last year against the Nuggets. I mean, he was terrible in that game.
Yeah, really.
He was terrible in that game.
But, I mean, 0-2 to the Bucks, came back, 0-2 to the Mavs. Look how good he was when in games 3, 4, 6, when they're down 3-2, they're down 0-2, completely taking over the games.
Kawhi has, like I said, answered the bell almost every time, even, you know, in 2017? Was it 7? So I think we got that wrong yesterday, Draven. I think 18 was the year that Durant and them fell down 3-2 to the
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not the first year.
The 17,
year.
They dominated. Like, the 17 is when they were down, like, 20 early to the Spurs, and then Kawhi hurt his ankle.
Mm.
And then they came back and won that game and swept them, right?
That was the Zaza dirty play, right?
So, yeah, but when we got that wrong, whenever I was saying the Warriors 2017 team was the best ever, that was not the one that should have lost to the Rockets. That was 2018.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, like, that, I was going to say, like, even Kawhi in that series, you know, came out in game one and was really, really good until they basically broke his foot.
Right? And then, like, as soon as Kawhi went out, you could just see the meltdown by the Spurs.
LaMarcus Aldridge goes to being your best player, and you know what happens when LaMarcus Aldridge is your best player. Like, who knows? I don't think the Spurs would have won that series had Kawhi not gotten hurt, but they would have won a couple games and made it interesting. Like, that was Kawhi, the, you know, best player in the league status. I mean, could have been there as MVP. But either way, like, you are right. Kawhi Leonard has answered the bell. Again, I don't want to go back and have the same discussion, but like I just look at that Clippers roster and don't think they're good enough to beat the Jazz. Maybe they can win a game 7 in Utah, though. Maybe the pressure and you just have, you know, when you get to game 7, you roll the dice and you come out with the best player and Kawhi Leonard wins. But like, it feels like if the Clippers are winning this series, it's going to be in 7.
Yeah.
And it'll take that type of thing. The problem is, and we said it before, the Clippers don't have a home court. They don't have a home court advantage. Like, Utah can go in there and win.
If I'm LA, these next man, two games. I'm like, hey, we got to do something about this. Like, we got to open this thing up.
The thing is,
I
don't know if they could open it up and make a difference, anyways.
You don't think it'd have any impact?
I
know it'd
have some. I mean, it would be louder, but I'm saying, like, do we give the Clippers credit for having, like, some crazy, like, raucous fan base?
That, but, like, helps more than having what they got, like, 6,000 people or something?
No, I understand, but, like, I just don't know if that's going to be enough to change the Clippers. Luck in this series because right now they look overmatched. And, you know, Donovan Mitchell last night had his way. I don't want to have the Rudy Gobert discussion again, but you admit that he's better than any of the centers that the Clippers have, at least. Like, he's better than Zubac and Cousins.
Yeah, Zubac was terrible last time. Well, Zubac,
Zubac's not very good, and, like, I felt bad for Cousins. He's trying. Like, he was out there with energy, and, like, for a little bit, you're like, okay, good for Cousins. And then, like, four straight possessions, Rudy Gobert just punks him, and, like, you're like, oh, you know. That's right. DeMarcus Cousins has zero lift anymore because of all the injuries. So they don't have an answer for him, and he's patrolling the paint, and, it's not like the Clippers have somebody that can get to the rim at will. You know, I know Kawhi and George can get in the paint, but if they're not going to finish at the rim, all you have to do is just hope that, Nick Batum misses a three or Marcus Morris goes 0 for 5 because he stinks.
Jeez, he does stink.
I don't think they can win. I don't think they will win this series. You could tell me they can, and, I won't bet and say like Kawhi can't, but I think the Jazz advance.
I just feel like we were literally saying the same thing the first series, like, Luka's unstoppable. Look what he did in games one, game two. He's unreal. Like, there's no way the Mavs blow this series. And I get that the Jazz are a lot better of a team, but still, Jazz also don't have a great playoff history. They're not usually clutch in big moments either. They haven't went to a Western Conference final since 2006?
Well, no, but
Carlos Boozer.
What I'll say about them is compared to the Mavericks, especially they don't have someone that's scared. Like the Mavericks, barely had anybody that was ready for the moment. Joe Ingles is a guy. Like, he's not tough. Like, that's one of the best rivalries in the NBA. I don't know if people, really keep up with it, but him versus Paul George is one of the best rivalries. They hate each other.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, Ingles hit that 1-3 and then, bumped into Paul George as, they call a timeout. They hate each other. It boiled over even more in that Thunder series when Ingles sent him home, and, they're letting Paul George hear about it because that Thunder team was so cocky. Like, Ingles isn't scared. I'll tell you one thing. Jordan Clarkson ain't scared. Now, he might, go cold from the court and, shoot you out of a game, but, they're not scared. Neither is Bogdanovich, neither is Mitchell. The Mavericks had Luka that was ready for the moment, and then you could make the case that everyone else was like, okay, well, if I don't hit a couple shots early, I'm going to go into a shell. Yeah. You can make that case. I don't disagree with that. I don't think Utah is built that way. Royce O'Neal ain't scared. Mm-mm. He's going to be out there, tough and battling and, fighting.
They said on air that Royce O'Neal was guarding, the best player points per game-wise on the other team, the most in the NBA, season.
I mean, I know
he's
we talk
so
about,
good.
Yeah, I know we talk about Gobert's defense, but, O'Neal's a really good, defender as well. Both those guys there help anchor that defense. Because, Bogdanovich is okay, and Ingles is okay, and Mitchell's okay. None of those guys are, terrible defenders, but, they're anchored by Gobert in the middle and, Royce O'Neal taking the best ball handler and saying, hey, I'm going to bother you. And, credit to him, I feel like he's done a pretty good job of bothering Kawhi so far. Now, Kawhi's still shooting decent from the field, but he's been held 21 points a game, basically? He scored 21 both games or around there?
I believe he scored 24 game
okay.
one.
But either way, basically the same thing.
And pretty much fourth quarter not taking over we're used to seeing Kawhi doing. Also, we can also make the argument the Clippers could have easily won this game. They missed 8 straight shots and all 8 looks were good. They were literally wide open threes. I mean, there was Patrick Beverley, whatever the hell he was doing in the paint, that one layup that hit the bottom of the rim. But they were getting pretty good looks, just not making anything.
The one person on the team that wanted to challenge Rudy Gobert at the rim was Reggie Jackson. Patrick Beverley.
Yeah.
Who dribbled in and kind of stood there and pump fake for a second and then just threw it up and missed it.
Give Paul George a little credit, man. Paul George, I'm telling you, he was attacking the rim, got to the free throw line a few times, made a couple and ones that were huge in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I feel like Paul George just does things whenever they're down 7 or 8 points, though.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like he does. I mean, the and one was down 8 with a minute left. He had another 3. So I'm not bashing Paul George today. Still think Rudy Gobert's better, but Paul George played pretty well, to which I would say, I would be a little worried if we got good games out of Paul George and Reggie Jackson and still got beaten. Now, I know you had a chance to win, but you still lost.
Yeah.
And there's a couple stretches that the Jazz just kind of pulled away in the second and fourth quarter where, it's kind of close, and then they just go on a little run and a little spurt at home, and you can't answer. If Kawhi can't be that guy that gets you a bucket when you have to have it, then they're not winning the series. But again, they were down 2-0 against Dallas. This time they actually get to go back home. Obviously, game 3, a must win. But I was just going to say, I still think we're on a collision course for the Phoenix Suns and Utah Jazz to play, and somebody's going to get a big legacy hit. Either Chris Paul's going to make his first finals and get that off his back, or Donovan Mitchell can continue his ascension to young D. Wade, and I guess he's not even that young anymore. He's 24. And then, maybe Draven will finally put respect on Rudy Gobert. I don't know if he gets to the finals. Him versus Ayton. It could be a good matchup.
Oh, Ayton would eat his ass up. We'll see. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I hope the Jazz get by. I really do. Because Ayton. Oh,
no, you
man.
Don't. You want the Clippers to win. You want the Clippers.
I don't want the Clippers to win. I just think they're going to win. I still think they're going to win this series. Let's not forget, John. Was it the Jazz? Didn't they blow, a 3-1 lead last year?
They did.
Yeah.
Sure did.
What do you know?
Nuggets team last year was something crazy special, though.
I don't know how much special the team was. They got they were
Jamal
good.
Murray,
at,
he was amazing.
Well, they were. I mean, like, you know, Donovan Mitchell was really good in that series too. But it was more so like, you know, Denver was really good when their backs were against the wall. They came back from 3-1 twice. Yep. Again, I don't know how special they were, like in as great of a team as they were, but they played well. You know, didn't help them against the Lakers, but we'll see. Anything from the Brooklyn Bucks game? Catch your eyes. I mean. The Bucks win, but that was about as ugly as of a fourth quarter as you could have from both teams.
So low scoring, 86-83.
Well, intern Ryan, when you were just a mere little pup running around in your diapers, that's how the NBA games used to play. In the mid 80s. It was a throwback to the early 2000s.
No, but we're not in the mid 80s. Mm-hmm. We're in the time.
No,
where
the early 2000s. Early 2000s. Yeah.
I know Giannis scored 33, but he sucks, man. He has no game. He has no game at all.
Did you see the clip of people pointing out when he was trying to go one on one with Blake Griffin?
Yeah.
And like he had no like dribble moves and
he
like
he has nothing. His only move he has was, like, no game.
He kept trying to like go between the legs. Nothing happened. Then he
lower your shoulder.
He backs up and tries to get a running start, and then like Blake just rips the ball away from him out of bounds. Like just
and then what the hell is he doing at the free throw line? He can't make him. He shoots under 50%, and then he gets a 10-second violation. Like it's all in his head, bro. It's crazy. If Chris Middleton, like I said, if Chris Middleton doesn't have the game of his life, this game's not even close. And plus, KD kind of struggled from the floor a little bit.
Well, in the first half.
I do think
shot 25% from three. Like they're gonna Nets are gonna do that again. Like this series is over. Give me like five games.
I don't think Joe
five
Harris
games.
Is gonna miss as many shots, but like I do think you did see a better effort defensively from Giannis and Middleton on Durant, and I thought Drew Holiday bothered Kyrie a little bit. But if Brooklyn doesn't come out sleepwalking and Middleton doesn't hit three threes in the first quarter and they're down 30-11, this is probably a different game. Obviously,
exactly.
Like Brooklyn had buried themselves in such a hole. But either way, like it was back and forth in the third, starting in the third quarter, it was close pretty much the entire, second quarter on. What do you make of PJ Tucker and Durant getting into it? And then did you see that skirmish? Mm-hmm. They got into it, and then all of a sudden, a big old bodyguard came and like grabbed PJ Tucker against a security guard. And then you realize today that's like Kevin Durant's personal bodyguard that is on the Brooklyn Nets payroll.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I did not see that.
So Kevin Durant has his personal bodyguard working for the Nets, and he came up and got P.J. Tucker out of there with a quickness. And I was just kind of like, I remember watching it. I was like, this guy's aggressive. He came in and could have made this way worse. And P.J. Tucker's like losing his mind. And then you find out that's Kevin Durant's personal bodyguard that was there to do his job.
Personal bodyguard.
Personal bodyguard so that he got hired by the Brooklyn
Does KD
Nets.
KD feel like he's got that big of a target on his back? Like, what the hell? A personal bodyguard?
I mean, I think guys have guys,
got lots of people that kind of
like
got
buddies watching their back, but I mean, a personal bodyguard, you're paying that guy to like, what is he? He's like, not that
LeBron
big of a celebrity.
Does LeBron have
I would
one?
Say LeBron has one.
Mm-hmm. Got to. Yeah. Anybody that level has one.
And I would say like the stories of LeBron, like his times in Cleveland and Miami is like, LeBron would put his boys on the payroll too.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't have his bodyguard out there checking PJ Tucker on the court.
Like, I was about to say, midway through a game, that bodyguard should not be able to be allowed in the game.
If he's on the Nets
again,
payroll, then he's good.
Yeah, he's officially a Nets bodyguard, which again, a Nets security guard. Like, his job is, I didn't know security guards are supposed to be the ones breaking up the fights, though. I thought that was kind of the coaches. And it was a weird scene. Weird scene.
Just kind of made me realize how short PJ Tucker is when he like got face to face with him.
He was the center for the Rockets for a hot second.
Yeah, well, 6'5".
I will say, like with Tucker, they always talk about his wingspan. He has he's 6'5" with like a wingspan of like 6'10" though. So like when he's actually playing defense, like he can get his hands up as if he is 6'10", which is still like funny. But yeah, he is still just like so short, but with really really long arms.
Just a weirdly made man over there.
And a big game for him, 0-4. But I will say he played pretty good defense last night. He stayed relatively out of foul trouble and at least bothered Durant a little bit. And I give credit to Bruce Brown for being willing to shoot that shot at the end of the game.
Yeah, right.
That was Bruce Brown's moment.
See, Terrence Mann will pass it away, but Bruce Brown,
Bruce
he'll
Brown
try.
Was ready. Bruce Brown was ready. And then everyone bashed him for missing. Unlucky. Hour two in the books. We'll kick off hour three with headlines.